Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Fantasy Hockey X here on a Wednesday night. Yes, we're starting a little bit late, but that's okay because we're going to do something special on the show tonight that we normally wouldn't do. And that's actual Olympic hockey predictions. Oh, shit. We're in big trouble now. But before that sort of thing, we have a special guest with us because, well, Christopher Pacheco is on assignment, and so is Michael Clifford. We have the VOTS. Say hello.
What's going on, Chris? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, and for everybody out there, 11-game slate tomorrow. No $5 Q. Sorry, kids. No $5 qualifier this year. I was told that yesterday. We have to, barring a miracle, we have to lower the boom on the people that are trying to sneak in with the little qualifier to the qualifier. That's not going to happen this year. But I looked up on DraftKings because I do this often, and I found the following medieval gems for tomorrow. And they are considerable, at least. Kind of like Tuesday, where they really had that 50,000, 10,000 to first, which I was just like, ooh.
Yeah, it's a super top-heavy tournament. But
yeah, this is going to be tomorrow we have another mega top-heavy one. We have the 85K penalty kill, which is 15K to first, 400 entry. The two-man is not at a not bad 40,000, so that's basically, you know, $8. That's not half bad. And the $33 line change is at 22.5, which probably is about a $3,000 or $4,000 first place prize. Just by really rough math. That's not half bad. Is it great? No. Considering an NBA All-Star break. That is
I would think
that would be a little higher. So, but the penalty kill isn't bad. And to be honest, the two-man advantage isn't great, but it's not, I would expect it Tuesdays to be Thursdays and to be switched around at least a little bit, but we'll see what happens there. Definitely a busy schedule as always. We're watching to see when Toronto will give up 50 shots because there's about 13 minutes left and they're at 48 allowed already.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, Columbus just wants to shoot all the pucks on the net. So you're looking over the weekend for, I think, Saturday when Columbus plays.
Yeah.
You could just stock. You just play whoever the heck you want because they're going to get shots unless it's Alex Wennberg.
Anybody but Alex Wennberg. Don't play him.
Yeah, don't. You might get assists. You might do what I did and back into it, or like I did last night and play Jimmy Howard.
Okay. Or you could be me and play him yesterday and lose $10,000.
Oh, come on. That was brutal. I mean, I did that last week it was Craig Anderson at 6,900 and he managed to have 41 saves and get the win. And people are just like, what the hell would you play Craig Anderson for? And I'm like, it was cheap.
Yeah.
I really don't have, and this is the thing that I say with DFS sometimes. Look, there's a lot of numbers and there's a lot of spreadsheets and everything else and there's all these complex algorithms, but you know what? If you're really smart, you can beat these freaking algorithms just with a little common sense. It tends to some work just enough to make it worth your while. I mean, unlike other sports, hockey, it's not the top 2% really that wins 90% of the money. It's a little bit better than that. Not by much, but a little bit. There's some hope. I mean, baseball's awful. I see it all the time. It's like these people just clean up, and it's just like, no.
Oh,
And NBA is kind of the same way, getting the same way at times as well. So, hockey's not quite there yet, thankfully, for the most part.
There's still edge to be had.
You can make money, and we'll show you
speaking
how.
Of Columbus, you and I were talking before, but
yep.
From the month of February through – 7 games now, they're averaging over 43 shots a game.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not the only crazy team. Guess who's back? The frickin' Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Holy crap. They have won 10 straight at home, and they have, let's see, they've won 9 straight at home, scoring 51 freaking goals.
Yeah, they're catching a groove, that's for sure.
Yeah, they finally hit the www.goalsanctuary.com, and of course that would be our first matchup. We're just going to do this rapid fire and quick, folks, because we don't have to like have a filter with this.
I mean, they're still good for giving up about 4 a game, but they score 13 a game, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's kind of nice when you could sit there. I mean, to be fair though, I mean Matt Murray actually had a really nice game against Ottawa. That game was bizarre. I mean, it was, what, 26-9 shots on goal for the two periods? And it's like, but wait, Pittsburgh's up 4-1. Huh?
Yeah, right.
It's like, wait, I'm confused. And somebody's like, don't be. Yeah, but basically, all the numbers have kind of almost bounced back to, not, I wouldn't say normal, Jeff, with Pittsburgh, but power play is now number one in the league. They're over 27% at home. Since January 1st, they're over 30%, which is why I joke when I say this to people. It's like, you might want to consider playing the Pittsburgh power play as a stack. What? Not the whole thing. Parts. So you may not get the correlation that everybody loves to talk about. I want points.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if Justin Falk can get a goddamn hat trick against L.A.
Yeah, who saw that coming?
Nobody.
That was
pure dumb luck. No way you could have seen that coming. I mean, I understand Falk, you know, had a pretty low PDO and his shot percentage was in the tank. You know, something was bound to happen. But, I mean, it was more because of his shot selection than anything else.
Yeah, right.
So you look at the overall and you go, okay, well, the Kings are starting to allow a lot more goals on the road. The defense has been porous at times. But naturally, what do they go and do? They go and acquire Dion Phaneuf. Okay. Now, Dion Phaneuf as a fifth or sixth defenseman actually isn't half bad.
Yeah, right.
Because he's not going to play 20-something minutes. And if he does play on the top pairing with, say, Drew Doughty, all Phaneuf is going to have to do is basically act like a pylon, which at times he might be considered to be that anyway. Here's the other problem. And at least this is sort of speculative opinion, Jeff. Jeff Carter has to be closer to be coming back if they trade at Marion Garrett.
I would imagine.
There's something to it. And the happiest person in the world will be Tyler Toffoli, literally. Because he just lost without his friend. But at least for tomorrow, you know what? I look at this from a simple standpoint of murder, death, kill. Murder. You can pick your choice of either Pittsburgh 1 or Pittsburgh 2. It's not going to kill you. Either way, just remember that you do want to leave some money in other places for punts and et cetera, which there will be on the schedule. Don't worry, you know, a couple games down the road, you'll see lots of them. But you can play a couple Kings players. I would not be bullish on Anze Kopitar per se, but you get this feeling like he's going to sneak something tomorrow only because he played so damn well.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the thing that we're trying to get at. A little bit different approach with this slate compared to say even last Thursday's slate. It is different for sure.
Yeah. Right.
Am I playing either goaltender from this game? No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't want to. I really don't. It would be a bad idea. But. You know, looking into the Pittsburgh power play stack isn't a half bad idea if you can just piece it together a little bit and accept the fact that you're going to have to spend a good bit. You can backdoor it and just get Justin Schultz and save a couple thousand.
Yeah, who does see power play time, you know, split.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get the super correlation like you want, but hey, you know what? If I can just string it along a little bit, it's all right. On to other fun games, just because, you know, we can. Carolina travels to New Jersey. New Jersey, literally, their one win in their last five was because Taylor Hall decided to say, well, my goddamn goalie sucks. My defense sucks. I have to do something. And he just kept doing stuff. It, literally, if you saw the game against, if anybody saw the game against Philly on Tuesday night, the first thing they're going to notice is, oh my God, Taylor Hall literally got knocked all the way into Cherry Hill. And it's true. He did get knocked into Cherry Hill. I think he literally, he was out on the ice, but nobody wants to say it. Even if it was for a half a second or a second, he was out.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, the guy finds a way. And look, he's top 7 in points per 60. You know, he's 23 points in his last 15 games. Even if the Hockey News doesn't want to acknowledge that as an active streak, and that's the hill they want to die on, that's fine. But basically, next to, say, I don't know, Nathan MacKinnon, Taylor Hall is probably 1B as far as players who mean the most to their team, period.
Guaranteed.
New Jersey is just a mess without Taylor Hall, and literally you could just put him wherever, and they'll double shift in the death. I mean, he even made Travis Zadina look good a few times last night, which...
It's pretty tough to do these days.
It's pretty tough. But, you know, you look at the overall schedule and you go, okay, well, the Devils give up a lot of goals. They give up three overall in the season. Their scoring is actually dead even now at home.
Yeah, and actually, you know, their Corsi's gone up a bunch, too. I mean, over the last 10 games, I think they're fourth
in the
league.
Yeah, this is the hilarious part. Their 10-game rolling average is tied for fourth.
Now,
yeah. I mean, people don't understand this. It's like, well, how on earth can that happen? And sometimes there is no explanation for these things in a hockey season. Some teams will just go through like 10, 20, 30 game stretches. Chicago's a great example of 5-on-5. It's just, there is no luck. The luck has gone. The pucks don't go in. They're shooting it right into the goalie's spread basket. It's literally that simple. They're just pressing in every way. And the Devils have done that at times over the last, I would say, at least 10 to 15 games. Partly due to injuries, partly due to coaching. It's rough. And that's where you sit there and go, well, what do I do as far as, you know, playing certain lines and such? Hello, my name is Sebastian Aho, and I centered the Carolina Hurricanes now. Yeah, that might be a line you want to consider. You might want to try the ass line. Yes, I said it, the ass line. at least consider it somewhere, because Stempniak's going to be dirt cheap everywhere, so it's worth a shot. I mean, it's not the greatest idea in an 11-game slate, but we've done worse on this show, and it's worse.
You know that ass line's not going to meet up with, you know, the Hall line either. So
right, they're not going to meet up with the Hall line. And to be fair, the Hall line gives as good as it gets at times too. It's just that the Hall line generates so many more chances. So what will probably happen is, John Hines will do this, I swear, the Zajac line is going to go up against the Aho line, and I'm just going to sit there every, like, about three shifts and just go, why? At least that seems to be the line matching that I've gotten the impression from, you know, our good friends from the Daily Faceoff who do an excellent job at finding the line matchups before almost anyone else. And, of course, you know, our good friends from Dobber Hockey who do much the same.
It's
tough because I don't trust the Carolina. Again, this is another case. Don't trust Carolina goalies. Don't trust the New Jersey goalie. Don't play the goalies.
It would seem like it'd be offense, you know, but both of these two teams are both good at possession games. So
it is kind of weird to see what will happen. Carolina gives up a few, definitely gives up about 4 or 5 shots per 60 more on the road than they do at home. So that may be where it's a little bit interesting. Their road penalty kill is not the greatest. They give up a lot of chances. They don't take a lot of penalties, though. They're amongst the top third in the league in penalties taken.
Yeah, right.
So that's not so bad. But if you can get them on the power play, you're getting somewhere at least. And that's where I say to people, it's like, okay, yeah, you might not get a ton of opportunities, but if I'm going for at least a shot in the dark, yeah, I'm looking at, if not the Hall line, at least I'm looking at maybe the Wood line.
That's going to be tough too. I mean, like you said, if they do throw, if it is a tough matchup, but like you said, Carolina, they're the least penalized team in the league. I mean, in comparison,
I can't believe that they're 20 game rolling average right now, and yet their power play, their penalty kill is still below 80%. And part of that is because, well, if you looked at the penalty kill save percentage of Darling in particular, you'll want to turn your head away and just cough.
Yeah, Darling was not the answer.
And it's weird because he shows flashes at times, and then it's like, maybe it's just something in the water in Carolina. Because at one time, Cam Ward was a really good goalie for like 3 or 4 seasons. And I know people don't want to believe it.
And he's actually been better lately, Cam Ward. It's
a little bit better lately. But again, this is where it gets to be problematic. Because I looked at this. I can't believe this. All right, so this is for everybody out there. Amongst the top 10 teams that take penalties. Okay, here we go. Now, it's funny because we mentioned this. 3 of the 4 teams, Pittsburgh, L.A., and New Jersey, are amongst the top 10 in penalties taken. Oh, and L.A. added Diamfanov. Just throwing that out there. Carolina, right, for perspective on this, is indeed not only dead last, but people forget they've also played 57 games, which is a game or two more than most teams out there, aside from Toronto, which seems to just want to play all its games now.
Yeah, right.
But the killer in this, and like I said, okay, so you have a team in Carolina that, by rough math, right about 2.45 penalties a game. That's it, Jeff.
Yeah, that's pretty.
That's not a lot. I mean,
no.
You go up to say New Jersey, and New Jersey is about 3.35. That's almost a full penalty more a game.
Yeah, right.
Pittsburgh. Let's see, Pittsburgh wants to carry the one. God damn it! Stop making me do math, people. Is it right about 3.4? I mean, Anaheim leads the league right now, and it's at 3.64 a game. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, Nashville, by the way, is the only team that is averaging more penalties per game than Anaheim.
Yeah.
No one believes, but yeah, I do.
But Nashville is also shooting the puck 40 times a game, too, like Toronto or Columbus.
That's the thing. That's why I said when you're going through the slate tomorrow, do at least look a little bit at special teams, especially on a slate like this, because you do have a ton of bad penalty kills, including Tampa Bay.
But, yeah, I think this game, honestly, is probably a full fade for me. I don't know if I'm going to touch it.
It's basically like a couple one-offs. It's either Aho or Hall and very little else.
Right, that's pretty much it.
Because even Aho in his first game as center, Jeff, had a lot of scoring chances. So it hasn't like deviated his tendency to shoot at all. So,
right.
And I think it's just that's a tough matchup for New Jersey if the line matched the way they do at home. And oh God, I just wish I could take like frickin' Nazarene and Hines and just like bang their heads together and say, hey, look, play this guy against and it'll work. But it's just not that way. Mm-hmm. All right. Now for the feature presentation, which, oh, Jesus Christ, this
what's this, a total of about 13 tomorrow?
Oh, my God. we'll be whizzing through a lot of the rest of these games, but the New York Rangers take the subway over to Brooklyn to face the New York Islanders, who have a coach that doesn't like his fans and doesn't give a crap about them, but says, oh, no, I said it the wrong way. By the way, the Islanders have given up 40 shots in two periods in three of their last five games.
Yeah, they don't mind teeing it up for the other team.
Yeah, this is something else. I mean, all right, for people that don't realize this, and they expected the Rangers, even with like six or seven injuries, to just pack it in, they actually have played better with the younger defense that they have in now, instead of the McDonough, Stahl, and now, thank God, Kemper's out as well. But as much growing pains as Pionk and Gilmore have had, Jeff and I were remarking on this before the show, Gilmore is like lightning in a bottle. Literally.
Yeah, the kid's fast. Not only that, I like the offense he brings. I mean, he's offensive. You know, he's it's tough to put a profile to him because it's only been three games. But, you know, if he keeps firing the puck like that, I mean, he's going to be used a lot.
Yeah,
and he's getting
like
power play.
Ten shots in three games on, like, 17 attempts or something like that.
Yeah.
I know it was a high number. So, you know, he's firing the puck a lot, and he's still dirt cheap. I think he's around $3,200 on happy little DraftKings here.
Yeah, so everybody listening to the pod, you will see Gilmore in a lot of my lineups tomorrow.
Yeah, and you're gonna see him all over the place. Just throwing this in. Come on, load. By the way, funny story, as DraftKings has alluded to me. Oh, by the way, our desktop part of the app does not work very well.
Yeah, yeah.
And their
mobile,
like,
site is horrible.
The mobile is not much better. Thankfully, the iPhone is at least decent, so it's not as bad. But I've heard Android horror stories.
Yeah, it's kind of rough.
Some of them are just really bad. Just for perspective, Pulock has gone up to 4,500. So he's still a decent enough play, especially with that freaking shot. You just have to at this point. Gilmore is 3,200 still, and so is Pionk. So they're priced nicely still, at least for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Gilmore saw a good amount of time too, and he played on the power play on the second unit, but they put, you know,
still
skate
saw
in
90 seconds of power play time. So
yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go to the top line, which, you know, would probably be the right, or the second line, I'm sorry, Nash, you know, Zibanejad and Zuccarello, I mean, you're probably better off throwing Brady Skeetia in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the key. I mean, if you're gonna do Gilmore, it's not a half bad idea to throw a Rangers winger in there, and that's it.
Yeah, or even like a Hayes or something.
Yeah, because Hayes is one of those guys that tends to fare well against the Islanders.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and forth with this just because this game literally should have about 8 jabillion shots. And if it
doesn't... Well,
yeah,
there's going to be plenty of rubber flying.
If it doesn't, I'm going to be extremely disappointed. For perspective on this, towards the end of last year, I covered one of the final Devils home games. We weren't watching the Devils home game, Jeff. We were watching the Rangers Islanders game on the press box screen because literally it was 8-5 after two periods. Yeah, it was actually, I'm sorry, it was 6-5 after two periods. And Islanders had gone up like 4-0 or something like that. The Rangers came back, tied it, and then it was just one of those games where it's just like, holy good God. And shots on goal were like 48-42. I mean, it was just like chances galore. We're not saying it's going to happen tomorrow night, but it's a distinct possibility. And literally, this is where if you sit there and you look at the Rangers and Islanders and you just go, well, who do I stack and play? pretty much anybody from the top freaking six.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
I mean, this isn't. Look, the old choose your own ending books, for those that are old enough to remember, this is what this is kind of like. Okay, you're going to want to play the unexpected tomorrow. I understand that. But you're stupid not to at least have something of Rangers Islanders in your stacks tomorrow. Somewhere, at least. You may not have them 100% exposure. I would never, ever recommend that because, look, all it takes is one freaking freak screw up and you're just like, and nobody does. When you're doing 10, you know, you're doing 5, 10, 15 lineups, you don't want to have 100% on anything.
No, absolutely not.
It just doesn't happen here. But, look, Vegas has this going at 6.5.
And it's going to be a popular game, don't get me wrong. But there's still not reason to fade, you know. I mean, I would still get a piece of the exposure if you could.
Right. I would try to piece it instead of going all in. I mean, if you're going to go all in on one lineup. Say you
right.
have 10 lineups, go all in on one. Don't
I mean, a game stick here
can
be phenomenal, I think.
It's worth a shot. You at least have to... At least there's a 10 to 15% chance of having to consider it on Thursday night. Absolutely. You have to. The goaltenders, look, if you're going to roll anything and you're going to try and roll the bones on this, you go with Halak based on history. Because, look, Lundqvist has been so awful. But Halak has been so good over the last 2 weeks, Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the goals allowed doesn't show it, but just the quality chances that he's seen and the saves that he's made. And
well, yeah, he's jumping in
and
a fire.
And historically, he's won 12 of his last 15 against the Rangers. He's 12-2-1.
Yeah, I mean
that's a crazy number.
I could see maybe a dart with it, but I
you
don't
have to
know. That's a that's
yeah. You're
a
not
tough.
Going all in. You're
no,
not
that's
far
a
from it.
You're to swallow.
You're basically darting a game stack, and you're darting Halak tomorrow. All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the crap that we don't really want people to look at, Buffalo travels to Ottawa. So. Is this trip really necessary? The answer is Vegas actually does not have a consensus line on this because no Vegas line really knows what to go with this other than favoring Ottawa slightly because Jack Eichel is not playing. And for those that don't know, yes, Jack Eichel has a high ankle sprain. He'll be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. If you see Eichel before the end of March, you're lucky. I can't see them playing Eichel for more than a few games to end the season, and that's it. Goalies tomorrow. Oh, fuck. Do you really want to even try that to guess on this one? No. No.
I would say it's going to start at a 5.5. You know, I don't know.
It's
I mean, this could be a good, you know, sneaky spot, but Brassard and
spot.
Stone have been good.
Yep, and you know who else has been really good for Buffalo?
I mean, I know
Ryan
people
O'Reilly.
Probably laughed when I put Brassard in my article the other day, but he scored.
I didn't. He was prominently in my Sporting News article as a pure DraftKings play because he was freaking $3,900. I'm like,
yeah, I said it's too cheap. You know, it's that guy. You know, Brassard and Stone together, they have good chemistry, and
yep.
the amount of offense they produce is pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny because Ottawa has two pretty good duos in Brassard and they had Brassard and Stone, and they have Duchesne and Hoffman.
Right.
The only problem is what often happens in games is one goes off and the other kind of lags back a little bit.
Right.
So, the one good thing here is Buffalo is one of those teams that, again, they don't take an immense amount of penalties. They're 20th in the league in penalties taken.
Right.
But if you can get them in a rhythm where they start taking penalties.
But, yeah, I mean, granted, you know, their penalty kill isn't good either, though, you know, so.
Right. So you can modestly attack it. But again, I mean, you're looking at a limited amount of players that you can play from Ottawa. And even, you know, perhaps you want to risk Carlson, but you can spend in other places. And that's kind of the problem with Carlson and why his price has gone down so much is because people realize, oh, I can play such and such. I can play Gilmore at 3,200. I can play Pulock at 4,500. I can play, you know, I can play whoever at such and such amount. I can play Justin Falk even.
Right.
Recommend it, but
yeah.
There's enough options there. Oh, okay, I can play Justin Schultz at far lower than Crystal Tang. Again, there's too many options, and that's actually where supply and demand has pushed down Carlson's price. If Carlson was producing at the level he was last year, it wouldn't be able to push it down so much. It just wouldn't.
Right.
It's just an inevitable supply and demand type thing. Would I play a lot from either one of these games? No.
I could
play a
two or three, man. If it, you know, if you throw like a Broussard, Stone, Carlson, or
I could do winger. I could do winger defenseman, the old-fashioned Hoffman Carlson special.
Yeah,
I used to miss that in the old. Okay, basically whenever they played New Jersey, that's true.
Right. Because, I mean, you get Hoffman and Duchesne, you know, with Carlson on the power play, or you can go Stone with Carlson, and, you know, and Broussard
right.
at least plays on the second unit.
Yeah, you can at least toss that in.
But I think that Broussard line should avoid Ryan O'Reilly, which would be the better matchup, you know, because he hasn't been that great shutdown either this year either, so.
No, O'Reilly's actually, especially in the last, like, 8 or 10 games has been more of a offensive force, and so is Sam Bennett. No, Sam Reinhardt. Jesus, why do I always do that?
Sam Bennett.
And it's so easy too. I mean, Reinhardt has like what 12 points in his last 13 games.
Yeah.
So again, you know, it's one of those. It's like if I'm going to dare go contrarian as a one-off, or even as a mini stack, I might try Reinhardt and O'Reilly just for fun, only because Ottawa is in such a mess right now. Mentally.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a good time for Buffalo to go in there simply because, look, I mean, Ottawa traded a guy that was pretty likable in the locker room, and it may have some effect at least a little bit.
I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, he's been bringing the offense too, which has been, you know.
Hey, it helps.
Yeah, absolutely. It
helps. And his price has been moderate. He's moderately priced, so it's not like.
Yeah, and I could see, you know, throwing him out there.
He's starting the trend upward, though. That's the one thing I noticed. Like, at least, like, you know, good example of this.
But, yeah, sneakily, I think, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be on this matchup in the beginning. But, you know, the more you kind of dig in, I mean,
they're going to gravitate towards this a little bit more. And I said originally, I was like, a lot of these guys aren't going to be more than 4 or 5% owned. But as the day goes on and lines start to shake out, I have this weird feeling that some are going to really – you're going to see a boost. By the way, FanDuel is a free roll tomorrow. Not
a free roll? Yeah. Will you win $2?
Yeah, $1 million free roll tomorrow. They really do. So here's the interesting dynamic in this. So I went up and down real quick and looked at this. O'Reilly is now up to 6,500 on FanDuel. So he's caught up a little bit.
Yeah, FanDuel's product is just it's like a dumpster fire. I just can't get into it.
It's rough. So I mean, as
they refuse the free price, guys. I mean, the pricing on some of the guys is, you know, hysterical.
By the way, 7,300 for Monahan tomorrow. Putting it out there. I mean, and that's again, another source of, I get why people have that extreme frustration.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, yeah, DraftKings has its moments, but at least it's like, okay, well, this is fair. By the way, something from the Islander game that I want to throw out real quick back. Matthew Barzal is back up to 6,600. He's the one guy that he did jump.
Yeah.
So, and I guess that's in anticipation of the game tomorrow. Speaking of the game, Jeff.
Yeah.
Not in a great standpoint. Detroit travels to Tampa Bay, which is like a house of horrors for the Detroit Red Wings. if this is one team that can get Tampa Bay right at least a little bit, it may just be Tampa Bay. Vegas odds right now are cruising in a nice 250, which isn't bad. I'm not surprised at all. I thought it would actually be a little bit higher.
Yeah,
I thought we were gonna get like Penguins Ottawa like about 270. Maybe 280. But no, not yet. And this is the type of game where I go, you know what? Gord.
Yeah, he's done
more better Gord. Get your Gord. And it's funny because it's starting to get to that point, Jeff, where his price has now hit DraftKings average. I thought it would at some point, but here's part of why. Okay. Since the middle of last month, just about, Gord has scored a goal in all but three games. So out of 13 games, he has scored a goal in 10 of them.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know if I can play him as a one-off. I mean,
you can't.
His shot volume is, you know, kind of decrepit, to tell you the truth.
Here's the problem. Even with those 10 goals, here we go. Here's the quick shot on goal list. 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 3.
I mean,
no,
let me
I'm
take
sorry.
A
that's,
peek
that's
at what
nine
his shooting
goal,
percentage
that's nine
is.
That's, yeah, I mean... Here we go. So to be fair, I'm sorry. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God damn it. Why can't I count today? That's 8 goals in 11 games. Okay. Still.
Yeah, with a total of, like, 6 shots?
In the last 11 games, he has 26 shots. So he's averaging right about 2.5 shots a game, supposedly, which can't be right. Come on, natural stat trick. Don't do this to me. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Oh, I know why. Okay, it is 26 because he had 5 in the first game of the streak. Okay, that's fair. Now, here's the kicker in this. Early in that streak, he was only playing fourth-line minutes.
Right.
And then they realized, oh, we can use him again. I mean, Gord is a 2020 guy, and I don't think it's entirely a fluke. But he's one of those guys that's going to have to shoot at, like, 18. He's going to have to shoot Henrik from 2 years level ago.
Right.
Basically every year. And he could do it in that offense. The problem is, do I sit there and play him? Or do I go for something a little meatier and hope that Tyler Johnson gets off his goal schneid? Now, that's an interesting gamble. Remember, Tyler Johnson has not scored a goal since the hat trick against Carolina. And that was all the way back on January 9th.
It's been a while, I know that.
I mean, it's not that he's been doing poorly points-wise, it's just, oh, I need goals, Jeff. Goals are good.
Yeah, you know.
And the problem there with playing, say, Tampa Bay is, okay, well, where else are the goals going to come from? Do I bite the bullet and go Stamkos or Kucherov at that point? And it's like, kind of might have to in one or two lineups just because.
Yeah, just roll both of them.
You're almost forced, and you can't. And now it, like we said, with Gord being at 5,600, you can't just go for the relief anymore.
Right.
So you're facing a dilemma. It's like, well, can't use Gord as a one-off because of shot volume. Can't use him in cash games because, again, doesn't have shot volume.
Right.
I'm going to have to go a different way. Now, here's the fun part. Detroit, I can't believe I'm saying this, Jeff. Check to make sure Mike Green is playing tomorrow and he's not a healthy scratch.
Yeah, that's...
Just because this is the time of year where you start seeing these goofy, all-of-a-sudden trades. Yes, I know it's 11, 12 days before the deadline, but unfortunately, working for a rumor website like I do, you do get privy to certain things, and you go, oh, crap. So it is something to at least watch for. Teams are looking at green. There's a lot of scouts going to Detroit games. I think the Toronto Columbus game tonight, there were 17 scouts. It's that kind of time of year where teams are fishing. So you want to take a look at that. Obviously, Detroit, I don't like playing Dylan Larkin only because his price is so sky high.
Yeah.
Like 6,700 now. And it's just like, no. But if I want to sneak in, say, Mike Green, I want to sneak in, you know.
My boy, Tyler Bertuzzi.
Yeah. I would actually consider it tomorrow because I do think Detroit's going to get at least a couple goals. Probably not going to win.
Yeah, no.
But at least they'll get, you know, somewhere and something. And that's the thing. You know, do I play, say, Vasilevskiy as a cash option tomorrow? I still think there's better options. Anaheim. Okay. Sorry, Jeff. Can't help it. Even maybe God forbid Vegas. Although that one's gonna be another weird one. And I saw the line and I went, holy crap. But next up, we're gonna go through these really fast. Washington travels to Minnesota. Oh, Washington.
Yes.
Oh, you left poor Senior Holpe out to dry the other night. And, oh, my God.
He struggled.
Yeah, and it wasn't – yeah, it's sad when you see a goalie and you go, it's not your fault.
Yeah, right.
Ow.
That's what I try to tell people. I mean, you look at their – you know, their defensive core is shaky at best.
Yeah, I mean, here's what happened in the third – great example. Here's what happened in the third period. Okay. Washington game against Winnipeg. Perfect example of this. Washington scores to make it 3-1. At that point in juncture, Washington had – they had 25 shots on goal at the 7.5-minute mark of the third period. They were only being outshot 30-25.
Right.
Okay, here we go. They were outshot 16-2 the rest of the way, which included 8 high danger chances by Winnipeg and 3 goals. Culminating literally by Mark Scheifele scoring one of the most beautiful shorthanded goals in an empty net situation that you'll ever see. And then, of course, Scheifele setting up Tyler Myers of all people, which literally was so open. I looked, and Tyler Myers could have sat there, went to the bathroom, ate breakfast, ate lunch, ate dinner, and still had time to blow up.
Yeah, right.
And that's the thing. Washington's down-the-middle defense has been so porous this year, mainly because John Carlson's having to play a ridiculous boatload of minutes because, you have guys with him. I mean, Christian Jews is a nice player.
Yeah.
But he's so young, and he makes so many mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's a theme. It seems like that every, I won't say right defenseman with Washington, but it seems like every other defenseman is just an absolute albatross. And they're paired with, which is, makes sense. You want to pair them with a better defenseman, but the problem is after Carlson, it's like, not so better. And then.
Yeah, right.
And that's where Minnesota can attack, especially with its depth line. You know, you're looking at guys like, unfortunately, Parise's price is starting to come up. Niederreiter hasn't been so good of late. So you're running into who to play. Eric Staal is way up in price. So there's the inevitable dilemma of, well, these guys are pretty good at home. They score a lot of goals.
Their defense is ridiculous at home.
But the problem is, how do I fit it in as far as an 11-game slate? I mean, this is a team that's 20 – I mean, 2 goals a game at home, just about. Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. And their power play has gotten better. So now that's come up. I mean, here's the thing. I could fade this game tomorrow and almost get away with it.
Yeah, it's possible. I think so. I mean, I'm probably going to have a little exposure to the top line of Minnesota. Maybe, you know, nothing crazy. It's not a core, you know, play, but I think taking a stab at it would work.
It's at least a moderate moderately good play, especially in head to heads, and especially you know, if you're looking around at, you know, even a couple of the bigger GPPs, it might be worth a shot just because.
Right. I mean, the only thing is the line matching.
Yeah, you have to watch who they're going to match lines with, and you're going to have to watch, you know, if Washington 2 can get, say, Minnesota 3 at all, that'll be one to watch.
Yeah.
Minnesota 3 is awful. I mean, Joel Arison Ek is not a checking line center. any stretch, remote, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll want to watch that. Okay, next up, because they keep telling me I have to move my ass here. Calgary travels to Nashville. By the way, I just want to let people know that, yes, Philip Forsberg is my Lord and Savior and did score on Tuesday.
Forsberg Tuesdays.
Oh, I am sweating that out. I mean, he hit two posts and a crossbar. I was just so pissed. I'm like, oh, come on, dude. And then he gets the penalty shot and banks it right in. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
The overtime. Wasn't in overtime, right?
Yeah, and in overtime. And all I could hear from people is, shut the fuck up, Wassel. Seriously. It's like, it was going to happen. All right. Here's the thing with this. Still no Mike Smith for Calgary. The good news is if you saw the game against God, that was a brutal-looking injury, and unfortunately he's only going to be out a couple games. He may be back as soon as the end of the weekend, which is miraculous considering what he couldn't move. So, you know, again, the quick way to look at this, Nashville is ludicrously good at home. I know the record. But the funny thing is Nashville's numbers are starting to level out a little bit, Jeff, in the sense that they're getting better at home.
Yeah.
I mean, for,
and that place is tough to play in, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, it's tough. I just asked Chicago. I know. Ask New Jersey, too. They escaped one last year with a win, and nobody could believe it. But the numbers earlier in the year at home, it's funny. Nashville had such a good record, but they were giving up like almost 3 goals a game at home.
Yeah.
They're like 2.29. Over the last 12 home games, they're allowing only 2.38 goals a game at home. So that's quite a drop.
Yeah, right.
Now, yes, they're still taking a boatload of freaking penalties. They're top 10 in the league in taking penalties. Actually, the third, and when it comes to penalties per 60, they're number one.
Yeah.
By the way, Minnesota, 2. Just throwing it out there. If you want to sneak back and add a little bit of that Washington power play, maybe just a little, push it in a little bit. But, you know, again, same kind of thing here. I want to play the Forsberg. I want to play the Forsberg so bad. But the price is too high. I like sliding back a little bit just because I know the 3M line is going to go up against the top line. And
right.
And here's where the fun part is. If I'm going a one-off at all, I'm going to say hello either to Matthew Tkachuk or Matthew Tkachuk. His price isn't super ridiculous yet, although I know it's coming. It's just it's so stinking inevitable that this is going to happen.
I mean, he's turning into a good player. You know, he's growing before our eyes, if you want to say. You know.
Yeah, when he doesn't try to slash somebody's head off.
Yeah, well, that's true. He's got the tendencies of his father.
Hey, like father, like. Now, here's the thing, though. On FanDuel, he has gone up to 6,500. That's the one concern I have. So you'll want to watch and go more towards your mid plays. Even say God forbid, you might want to consider even a Craig Smith, because Craig Smith will pop.
Craig Smith is my boy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's still 4,900 on FanDuel, and he's still mid price on DraftKings. He's reasonably priced.
Yeah.
That's where you want to sit. You want to sit there tomorrow and just, like, focus on.
Well, not only that, take a look at Craig Smith's splits. Tell me where you'd like to play him.
Lots of places.
21 points at home, 10 on the road.
Yeah, I want the home so bad. It's not even funny. Yeah, it's almost like Nathan MacKinnon at home. It really is. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon this year is, you know, for an example, he'll be back in a week and a half to 2 weeks, by the way. At least that's the hope. But, you know, it's that type of level of split production over the road that you sit there and go, oh, 0.8, you know, MacKinnon's 1.6 at home. I think he's 0.8 on the road. Smith is the same kind of way. He's basically double his production at home. And the price
he's averaging over 3 shots per game. I mean, at home, you know, and granted, like you said, his price is coming up, but, you know, Craig Smith was like a constant one-off for me when he was at home this year.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost have to sit there and consider it. Rene perhaps is a cash goalie, though. Look, Calgary is an excellent team on the road. The problem is, you know, how many games of no Mike Smith can Calgary? Right, look, Boston outclassed them on Tuesday. It just wore Calgary down, and there's only so much a goalie can do. And Nashville can kind of do the same thing. The only concern, again, with Nashville is, do they play to the level of the competition? Sometimes they have a tendency of doing that, even at home. It's just that the record doesn't show it, Jeff. And that's what fools people sometimes. They go, they won. But, yeah, they won 5-4. Oh. Yeah, they won and Rene gave up 4 goals on, say, 25 shots. And you just go, okay. Now, this is where it gets fun. Final 4 games of the schedule. Kind of a little fun, rapid fire. Anaheim travels to Chicago, which if you had told me the Ducks were favored in Chicago, I said, get the hell out of town.
Yeah, but, that's not too often that it happens.
Yeah, I mean, look, Chicago is 12 points out of a playoff spot. They're done. There's a going theory since the great old year of 1967, Jeff, that a team that was 10 points out or more at game 55 of the NHL season.
Yeah.
But finito come the playoffs. No team has come back. There's one team that's come back from a 10-point deficit to win a division. But
yeah, they're in trouble. You can pretty much pack it up.
Yeah, this the only time that it came close was, oh dear God, kids, a certain New Jersey Devils team in 2006. Won 11 straight games and went from 8th in the Eastern Conference to 2nd and won the division on the last day.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to do.
Yeah, it's an extremely tough thing to do over the final stretch of the season, let alone 20-something games left.
Right.
It's still ridiculously tough.
And
the problem,
you know,
again,
the Ducks have been red hot, you know, playing well.
They're playing all right. You know, they have their moments too. Obviously, look, Anaheim takes a ton of penalties, but Chicago, literally, their power play is 12% over the last 25
games.
Yeah,
their power play is putrid.
It's gone next level bad. When Lance Boma has a power play point.
Yeah, you know things are rough.
You know it's bad, so... Yeah,
well, take a look
obvious...
at Saad real quick. Let me know when the last time he's contributed anything.
Well, I mean, I think he had an assist in the last game, didn't he?
Yeah, he may have had an assist.
Before that, though, yeah, it's ugly. All right, here we go. Chicago's lost 7 straight. Okay, that's bad enough. Here's the funny thing with Chicago, though, and this is where it gets hilarious.
But they're still
Chicago
putting
is,
a ton of
Chicago
shots.
Chicago is second in the league in shots per 60 over the last 25 games.
Yeah.
35.4 per 60. Now, remember, now the thing is, and I say this to people, the shots per 60 difference between second and like and your lower third is about 5. So
right.
It's not as much as people think, but it's significant enough. Here's the funny part in all this. Chicago is still shooting at 8%, which isn't good, obviously.
No, and that's got to come up, you would think. But
I mean, you would think it would. But, I mean, look, Pittsburgh at one point was like 6-something, and it's come up. But the problem is, you know, this is a Chicago team that allows, you know, they don't, again, their teams don't take a lot of penalties, but they seem to give up a back-breaking power penalty kill, you know, on the penalty kill every other game. You know, the goals allowed is ballooned. I mean, this was the team that was in the top 5 in goals allowed. And over the last 15 games, they're 27th.
Thanks, Corey Crawford. You know,
yeah. I mean, the chances are ridiculous. The high danger chances allowed haven't gone up that much. But again, it's just part luck, part whatever you want to call it, teams are able to score. And Anaheim can roll 3 centers, and that's something Chicago just can't do right now.
But
as crazy
as Brinkhead has been the one good fucking bright spot of the whole team.
The Brinkhead is up to 21 goals on the season, folks, which is tied with
Kane, yeah, right?
This, Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
Which no one can believe. And this is where it gets interesting. You know, you sit there, okay, who do you want to play? Who do you want to risk? And on Chicago, it's tough. I mean, I sit there and I can make a case for 3 or 4 different good mini stacks.
Right.
The problem is they will get the shot floor that you want, but if they don't get at least an assist or a goal, it's pointless.
Right. There's no point in playing.
You have the play there, but it's like, and the problem is too, Anaheim and Chicago historically over the last half dozen meetings is well under 5.56. I think it was 5.6 on the expected goals projection for tomorrow. And that's too high. It just seems like it is. And part of the reason why it's gone up, let's see, according to this, the split expected is 5.5 straight. So that's rough. I mean, that you sit there and you kind of pause at it and go, oh, I don't know. Yeah, do I play a couple one-offs from Anaheim? Do I play part of the RPG line?
Yeah.
You know, at least, you know, the RPG line is going to go against the Taze line. That's almost as tried as true as Beauty and the Beast. I mean, it's just, you know, tale of all the time, and you know, it's just goddamn kid song. But it's reality. And
you can always play what everybody mispronounces as Case.
Yeah, murder was the case that they gave me.
Yeah.
Hey, I could play him and Henrique and go, okay, let's go.
That's right.
I would be half tempted to do it tomorrow. Am I gonna do, would I do it in a ton of lineups? No. Would I throw a dart on it? Yes, I would.
Yeah, why not?
It's that kind of night because of the last 3 games on the slate. Oh boy. Do we really want to go? Oh, Montreal goes to Arizona.
that's
hold
a game
on. Do
that's
I,
got
do,
DSS
do I,
players.
Do I have a freaking cord that? Oh God, no.
This is one of your salivating games.
Oh God, there's so much to go here. Because look, literally Montreal just. Yeah.
I wish I could jam in Montreal, but I can't.
Yeah, you're just afraid to. I mean, other than the Gallagher line, that's the only line that's really executed consistently.
Yeah, right.
So, and you can't just stack them. So would I go Brendan Gallagher as a one-off? Yeah, probably. You know, maybe I string in a Petrie just for the heck of it. I mean, you know, Shea Weber's
not back
yet. That's
even tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I mean, it's something that you could consider. And then for Arizona, I mean, God, there's so many freaking options. I mean, who do you want to play, and you can pretty much just fit them in.
Right.
You know, and
but then, you know, the problem is you look at the slate as a whole, and it's like, well.
That's where it kills you.
Yeah, it's tough.
But the thing is, I said to people, is Arizona is starting to play better. They've won three of their last four. They've won two straight. You know, Antti Raanta is finally healthy. He doesn't have, let's see, he hasn't gotten into a car accident. He hasn't had a scorpion infestation in a week. I look, some of the stuff is downright weird what has happened to him in Arizona this year. I mean, you know, he had the groin injury on top of the groin injury. He came back and then hurt his groin in practice. And
yes.
He was about to come back and play. There was the time where he got sick, like literally 12 minutes before warm-ups. You know, there's been a lot that has gone precipitously wrong. So, but you could give this a shot. I mean, I played Raanta. Sorry, I want to even say this, but I did play Raanta on Tuesday against San Jose, just as a DPP flyer in Yahoo. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the points, and I'm like, oh my God, hold. And then the son of a bitch gets in. You know, he comes in. He, you know, it's like, oh my God. It's like, in fantasy draft, I got the team win with Arizona. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
Right.
But I had put the wrong goalie in. I put the wrong goalie in one lineup. But I got 12 saves from him, and it was actually better than the guy I was playing head to head. Who I think I'm tempted to say he had
Wedgwood,
Forsberg. So he had minus 4 points. I was like, I'll take my 2.4 points right now. Thanks. That sounds better than a minus 4. And the guy's like, you seriously fucked up and still beat me. And I'm like, yes, I did. Sorry, kid. Apologies for the language, but it was necessary. So this is the thing. You know, you're looking, Arizona has looked better of late. You know, you can use a little bit of Montreal. Don't go extremely overboard. On the late slate, it might be better to use Montreal because of who's next. Oh, God, that's going to be something. By the way, the expected goals in the Montreal-Arizona game, split expectation is 6.63.
Really?
Yeah, but the over-under is 5.5 because of the way Arizona's playing lately.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where Vegas is at.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, did you watch the end of that Sharks game?
I did.
It was a brigade of shots, I can tell you that much.
It was definitely a ton of chances from all over and everywhere. I guess they're presuming that Arizona will play a little better at home. So, but look, that could be a sneaky high event game that people are not on at all. So, at least worth a look at. You know, penalty kills aren't the greatest, and both teams can take a moderate amount of penalties. So it's worth your while. Speaking of teams that are awful on the penalty kill, oh, hi, Edmonton. We didn't forget you. Oh, boy. Edmonton travels to Vegas, Jeff, and this is our second 6.5 over-under of the night. Yes, it is indeed true. And this is basically based on the split and the adage that, well, God damn it, even though Vegas does not give up a lot at home, even though it looked like they were going to against Chicago on Tuesday night, they didn't. Vegas is allowed just 2.27 goals per game at home, mostly because Marc-Andre Fleury stands on his head.
Yeah, he's a hero.
He is the man. Let's face it. Now this is where it gets fun. Looking at the numbers per game, both these teams shoot extremely well. They're both in the top 10 in shots per 60. The difference is Vegas is second in the league in goals per 60, and they're fourth in expected goals per 60, and Edmonton is 20th in both categories. And this is because Vegas is shooting at 10%, and Edmonton is shooting at just 8%. That's where it gets fun. You know, interestingly enough, obviously Edmonton is the worst penalty kill in the league.
Yep.
And here's where it gets more fun. Edmonton's penalty minutes are starting to trend upward. That's kind of the bad thing. I know what it looks like and it says as far as minutes. They're tied for 21st right now in penalties taken.
Right.
Which isn't, you know, it's bottom 10, but this was a team that was bottom 3 about a month ago.
Yeah.
It's coming up. And basically, you know, for people that are looking at this for perspective, another half dozen, you know, more penalties, and they're right in the middle of the pack. So it's not as if it's something.
It's a major difference, right?
Right. There's not a humongous difference. And now this team, I mean, look, let's put it this way. Edmonton has given up 50 goals on the penalty kill. All right. So you start going up as far as the list, and you can't find anybody that has given up 50. You don't even have to, like, waste your breath. It's there. Now, here's the thing, and this is where it gets worse. It's not only the 50. It's the fact that they give up a ridiculous amount of high-danger scoring chances. They lead the league by far and away.
Yeah, they really do.
So if you get a penalty, you're probably, with Vegas's power play being as good as it is, they're probably going, I mean, look, Vegas power play is 23.5% at home. It's like 18 on the road. So there's another thing. James Neal appears okay, but don't quote me on that. He took a nasty shot to the knee from Brad Hunt the other night. Friendly fire. So, you know, do watch to see if he's 100%. It seemed like he was all right, but I never like it when a guy takes a shot directly on the kneecap like that. He usually, you know, takes a period or two to get, you know, back into the swing of things. So they say he's all right. I don't ever trust it. But the problem, again, with Vegas is the prices are so outrageous. That's where, you know, you sit there and you just go, I have to touch it, but I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, it's tough.
So you have to pick around with Edmonton and Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, and the only way to really save on Vegas is for D-men. You know, it's tough because you play, you know, Marchessault, Carlson, Riley Smith, and, you know, what's the total of that stack? I want to say it's about 17,000, isn't it?
Yeah, it's higher and higher and higher. It's just, yeah, try pushing nearly. Well, now, I mean, on FanDuel, it's over 20. It's just about 20. So, you know, there you really don't want to play because they're both over.
Yeah.
You know, top two wingers are over 7, and Riley Smith is now basically approaching 6.
Yeah, right.
So I went and looked at this, and it's like, all right. So, you know, I throw it in. And I look at the price and I cry a little inside every time I look at Vegas because I can remember the old days. All right, Carlson 7 on DK just about. We'll call him might as well 7.
Right.
Connor McDavid is just $500 more, by the way.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, McDavid's a little low price tomorrow, as hard as it is to believe, which will make him a highly, highly, highly owned one-off at the very least. He's going to be a chalk one-off on the road, which just is crazy, but it's absolutely true. So, you know, you look at this real quick. You know, okay, 6,900 for him. Marchessault is 73. So that's 14-2, right? That's 14-2 right there.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, you're about 19,000, I want to say, right?
So you are now, because Riley Smith has jumped up about 1,000 in the last week and a half. You're looking at just about, oh, I don't know, a wonderful 20,600 for a top line.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well,
ow. I'm feeling pain.
That's more than the Tavares line, isn't it?
It is now. Tavares line has slid back a little. All right.
Just for fun, we have actually time to research this, so why the heck not? All right, so let's see. Lee and Bailey are 12-4. God damn it, I hate conflict. Holy sh! Yeah, you know what? Not by much, but by about $1,000 difference.
Wow.
Islanders' top line is 19-7 right now.
That's crazy.
I mean, can you even fat? Nope. And that's the thing. That's where you want to sit there, and it's like, okay, you know, do I roll Anton Slepyshev for the hell of it as a contrarian one-off tomorrow? Oh, why the hell not? I mean, this is, you know, especially like for the late slate, which is like 3-4 games. Oh, why the hell not?
Well, I can see in a late slate for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a late slate play, so sometimes we want to sneak that in for people. It's like, okay, look, you know, a late slate play, by the way, Connor McDavid's going to be like 40% something owned, close to 50. We're just letting you know this now. This is something that, like, water is wet, so we understand, but we're just letting you know because we have to. You know, people are going to look at that over-under, and they are just going to run like the Dickens to Vegas, and especially Edmonton. They think Edmonton's going to score because they do play better on the road than they do at home, which, again, doesn't surprise me.
I think almost all the Pacific teams do.
Edmonton's better. Look, Calgary's 16-7, 1-4 on the road. I mean, Edmonton's near 500, and god awful, you know, and their splits are god awful at home. You know, at least on the road, road penalty kill is actually 74%, which I know isn't saying much, but when your home penalty kill is 67.2. Yeah, it's pretty bad. All right. Final game of the night. Vancouver travels to San Jose. Anybody who owns San Jose players on Tuesday night, I'm so sorry. I warned you, okay? What do we always tell you when San Jose is the late hammer?
Yeah, the late hammer and the mega chalk.
And it was the mega chalk on top of it on Tuesday because of the way the schedule set up.
Yeah, I had a whole bunch of them too, but I was fading them because I had first place at one point in that 10K top heavy tournament, and I had to fade them. And I was like, oh, well, I don't want them to score, but I had a ton of exposure to the Sharks too for my other line, so it was a double edged sword. But yeah, they shit the bed. Besides Barnes, who now plays as a forward.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens there because basically Tomas Hertl was, hiding his hand in the press conference today.
Yeah.
So I don't hold out much hope of him playing on Thursday, so you may see a little bit more of Brent Burns, Chewbacca Wookiee Ford. And it'll be interesting because, look, I mean, Brent Burns will generate chances from anywhere.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
From the red line, it doesn't matter.
The problem is, look, Vancouver is not, again, another case of a team not as bad on the road as they are at home. But
yeah, and pace is an issue.
But their pace is slow.
But they're on a back-to-back, too, so.
And then there's that. So, do you want to play do you want to know the way to San Jose?
I think so.
You actually do want to play some San Jose. Do you want to play a ton of San Jose? No. Do you want to play some? Yes. And that's the key tomorrow. Do I want to play some of the power play from San Jose? Yes. Just watch before morning skate to see how DeBoer shifts the goddamn power play let again.
Yeah, the blender will
just
come
watch.
Out.
And I say this only because I have experience with dealing with Mr. DeBoer from his days in New Jersey. So I might know a little bit about how this works, and it will drive you crazy. So just watch. Keep that in mind. You know, get the Brock Besser one-off contrarian play ready. Just in case, and see where it goes.
It should be an interesting slate.
Yeah, it shapes up to be a wild and wacky slate. and obviously you have two games with the over under 6.5. You have arguably maybe three or four games, Jeff, that could probably get to that level.
Yeah, I would think so.
If things break right.
At least six for sure.
And then you have some what I like to call some pay studs, which you sit there and worry a little bit. It's like, okay, well, for example, you can't say Minnesota is a pay stud even at home anymore because they're allowing over 30 shots a game even at home now.
Yeah.
This is what this slate is missing, Jeff? This slate is missing the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, you get the Panthers.
God,
it's the real offense.
God, you just sit there. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. Every time I see Florida, it's like, oh, it's Trocheck.
It would have made it a lot
Barkov.
Tougher, yes.
Trocheck, Barkov, Malgin, and Ekblad click and go.
Yep.
Sometimes, Malgin, Matheson, just because. But, God, I mean, they drill, like, the same top four and the top six, and it's just you can't help it. The Islanders are that same way against the Rangers, though. And that's the only thing that scares me about tomorrow. It really does. I mean, the Islanders are so good against the Rangers. It's like, does that crash at some point? And that's my only concern with playing the Islanders tomorrow. It's like, God, does that crash? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, and I would love to see this. I would love to see the Rangers go with like a Gilmore-Pionk defensive pairing against the Barzal line. Because you need speed on speed. And Gilmore is about the only guy that can keep up with Barzal. I remember it from the preseason even. So, and remember too, something that's going to be forgotten in this. This is a preempt to Friday slate. The Islanders, this is the front end of a back-to-back for the Islanders.
Well, there's going to be chances for sure. That's guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be, you're going to have Christmas on Friday, too, because you may just have the ultimate matchup of Sebastian Aho versus Sebastian Aho on Friday. Come on, wait, and please make this happen. That's the only part I worry about is if Doug Waite healthy scratches Aho. That's the slate, folks. It's a stacked one on Thursday. It's definitely a big, juicy, meaty slate. Again, we'll be on Twitter. We'll be on FanVice. Mike and Steve will have the live show, I'm guessing, later in the afternoon to get everybody ready. It should be at least an hour and 15 minutes from what I heard.
Yeah, and make sure remind everybody that, there's going to be changes. There's going to be line changes. This is an early, preview. So
yeah,
come on over to FanVice for the live
show.
Yeah,
this is always the key. For those listening that know us well enough by now, typically when this show ends, it's usually up, if not like 12, 1 a.m., at the max. 6:30 in the morning, usually. So right as your cup of coffee comes out, to listen to us two jackoffs talk daily fantasy hockey, and it's fun and it won't be dull. So we don't know what next week will bring, because you never know.
That's right.
But let's see. Do I peek this out and I predicted Canada would win tonight against the U.S. in the.
Oh yeah, I forgot you were
round robin. Yeah, I promised that I would pick Canada, and the only reason why I say Canada is in my hope of prayers that the reverse always happens. Because it seems like with these tournaments, the round robin, the team that wins the round robin usually does not win the gold medal game. I don't know why. There's like no rhyme or reason for this. Now here's something that's shocking. USA versus Canada is not trending on Twitter at all.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I really expected this. And unless something weird happened that I don't know about.
Well, maybe
the game,
you know,
the game has
person...
been delayed due to a scoreboard melt. No.
Power out of Toronto, Columbus.
Yeah, that was something. Like 2 hours before the game, somebody said they couldn't list the. Wow.
Scoreboard.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. By the way, the game is scoreless right now. I am happy to know that an American finally hit a ref. I clocked him pretty good too. I mean, this one you have to see this. I mean, it's something for people that will get to listen to this later and be like, oh well, gee jerks, the result is already there. But you have to see the retweet of this where basically the ref just gets clocked. So, like I said, 11 games tomorrow. Ask away. Don't be shy to ask any questions because, look, there's going to be parts of this where line shifts are going upside down and sideways. And now, again, with trade deadline getting closer, speculation rising. God, you have to look at lines and go, is it? I mean, look, Gabbert, basically, Phaneuf got pulled midway during the game.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you don't want to say, hey, just completely drop everything and, you know, just because a player could get traded. Just be mindful of it. And you should.
Yeah, don't
should
make decisions, you know, based,
yeah, based
on speculation.
It. Yeah. You don't ever want to do that because we've had this before, and this is the one story that I'll tell people before we leave. About 15, 16 years ago. Yeah, it was 2002. Freaking trade on the table, Scott Gomez and a first-round pick for Teemu Selanne. And it was done. It was done. Scott Gomez was scratched before warm-ups, like about 6:30. It was a 7:30 start. Back when Devils played a lot of 7:30 home games. The old mausoleum known as the Brendan Byrne. All Selanne had to do was sign off on it. They couldn't find where Selanne was. Remember, it wasn't the age of cell phones. Selanne was at Disney World in California at the time with his first kid. I think that was the story. Or at least it wasn't his kid. It was like his cousin's kid or something. And his, I guess girl. I'm tempted to say girlfriend, maybe wife. The time, that part doesn't matter. But the trade was done. All they needed was Selanne to sign off on it. And Solani's like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yep. Man, I was in contact.
Now here's the kicker. The Devils had just enough time to sneak Gomez into the lineup, but Gomez only played like the second and third period. Because literally, he wasn't in for warm-up, so he had to warm up down the tunnel throughout the entire first period. Yeah, it was pretty weird. I mean, it's something that just happened, and they literally sat him, and he couldn't figure out why. And then they told him later, and he's like, what the fuck? it's typical Scott Gomez. I mean, Gomez used to routinely drop F-bombs on broadcast. There's a lot of times where things are edited out for the quick radio hits and such. And yeah, but definitely one that was warranted. So it's sometimes it happens in reverse where you see the guy and he's scratched and it's like, oh, for sure. And then all of a sudden the trade doesn't happen. And like one in a million time, the player actually plays after being announced that he was scratched. It's happened even this season, not with a trade, but with Nick Backstrom, when basically the beat writers from Washington said, oh, he's out. And then magically, 3 minutes later, he's in. And they forgot to tell everybody before roster's locked. It was like 2 minutes after. Oops. Well, if you were lucky enough to leave him in that night, he had a goal and 3 assists. And the,
yeah, I think that night hurt Cliffy a little bit.
But, yeah, we don't talk about that with him. We just never do. So, but yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's rough. I mean, this is sometimes, this is the pits and pratfalls of fantasy sports, but even just sports in general. So, you know, again, we're gonna end this. Say hello and aloha, as we always do. Fantasy hockey. Absolutely.
Our new Kadri with the hat trick. Have a night, Kadri, huh?
Yeah. That son of a. Never fails. Every so often, he just comes out of nowhere. And I thought tonight might be the night, just because of the line matchup. He was actually avoiding the top line. So,
yeah.
Sure enough. But wow, that had to be some line matchup to see, like, you know, 3-4 points from each guy.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, good luck, everybody.
Yep. Good luck, and we will. You know, you can download the show on iTunes through TalkShoe as well. That should be available by breakfast time for Jeff and myself. This is Fantasy Hockey X saying good night and good luck on Thursday night slate.